Yes, Lord. Chairs to go around it, so if you can get somebody to help you. Hello? Oh, fun, fun. Are you blessed today? Wow. That was pretty good. Yes, God. Father, we thank you, God, that you've decided that this is one place on the earth you'll show up this morning. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We know our worship to you was a fragrance to you. If it was from our hearts and pure, it was a fragrance in the throne room this morning. We pray that that heart of worship will continue as we receive more from you, Lord. You're the one teaching today. You're the one imparting today. You're the generous Father giving good gifts today. We need all the good gifts you have to give, Lord. And we're going to ask this morning. Because you say if we ask, we'll receive, and our joy will be full. You don't tell us not to ask. You tell us to ask and keep on asking, even banging on the door to wake someone up so that they bring bread, even banging on the door of a judge so that judge will come down and give counsel and make a decision. We bang on your door, Lord. And we bless your name, God. And we say, we know already, because of your heart, you will answer. We're ready to receive today. We're ready to receive today. Father, we push the button that opens our heart doors. And we say, you're welcome. You're welcome to come in. Wreak havoc if you have to. Change all the furniture if you have to. Move it all around, Lord. Turn it upside down. Empty out the change. We need transformation. We need your work in our hearts. We need your presence to be full in us. We open ourselves up to you, Lord. In a special way. Together. In a corporate way. In a personal way. Thank you for the encouragement of others opening their hearts right around us, Lord. It encourages us to do the same. We say to you, we won't hold back. We won't hold anything back. We're going to lay it all out there, Lord. Let you go through every room of the house. Even the locked closet, Lord, we open it up to you today. We say you're free to go in, clean it out, and fill it with your presence. We're yours today, Lord. We're all yours. We tear down all the other things that we put before you, and we say we're all yours. Bless your name, Lord. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And those that were here last time, what was the message on? No, last time I spoke. Last week's too, you know, they would remember that, of course. Going the second mile. Some of you brought it up to me this week, so that's interesting. You forgot between the time you brought it up to me and today, but that's okay. That's all right. We'll just press in and go to the second mile up here too. The message before that. The lepers. What a great message that was. Are you cleansed or are you whole? The lepers, the 10 lepers and the one that came back, he was told to go to the priest, even by Jesus himself. And he went against what Jesus told him and came back and gave glory to Jesus. And Jesus said, where are the other 9? And someone could say, well, you sent them away, Lord. But if your heart is after the Lord's heart, you'll always come and give him glory. It'll be the priority, not going to the priest, not being religious, but seeing his heart and giving him glory. Amen? Maybe we should just keep on going with that message. It's kind of starting to take hold in there. About 2 years ago, I gave a message called, well, I'll read a portion of it. You tell me what it was called. I was going to have this printed up for each of you today, but we would have had to kill all the rainforest in Brazil in order to get you a copy of my message. I didn't realize it was quite that long. Most of you realize it would be. It says, think of Joseph. He went through prison until he grew up in faith to the point. By the way, Carly was nice enough to come up with this transcript. Awesome. Okay, Carly, that's enough. It'll be on the tape. We'll speak later. It'll be on the tape if you're too loud. Think of Joseph. He went through prison until he grew up in the faith to the point that God decided, okay, now is the time of favor because you honored me. You aligned with me over 13 years you were in prison, and now it is time for favor to break loose. And when it broke loose, second in command of Egypt. That's favor. To go from the prison to the palace and be the man in charge. Most of us want this. But there is a process. Honor brings alignment, brings favor. Hint, hint. And favor can bring honor to you, and people line up with God's best for them. When people line up for God's best for them. Think of Joseph. So many lined up with God's best after Joseph was favored, after he was honored. You know, his entire family. They came into alignment with the Lord. That can happen with you. That's ministry. You want to be someone in ministry? You need to honor someone else. Learn from them. Be willing to be last on the list first, then come into alignment with God's plan for your life. What He decides to do as far as your life is concerned. And as God leads you to minister, He increases your position. You don't go after position to increase your standing in ministry. Let God give you the positions. Just like he did with Joseph, Daniel, and Paul. Paul thought he had the ultimate position and training and everything, but he hadn't even started yet on God's position. And he started out very low. He went through 14 years of training. You may think he got started right away, and he did with ministering, but not with position. He was raised up in his position, but he started out under Barnabas, And then they switched places, and Paul took over the higher position. That sometimes happens. If you're trusting God's plan and you're in alignment, it's okay, even if you take a secondary role when you had the primary role. Think of Jonathan. He was the king's son, next in line. And Saul once chastised him for favoring David, who Saul was trying to kill. But Jonathan didn't stop. Saul was his father, his king, and in many ways, his spiritual authority. But Jonathan saw the lording over and said, "That's not God's best. My own father is not in alignment. I'll respect him. I'll honor him as much as I possibly can, but he is not in alignment with God's plan. So in order for me to get favor, in this case, I have to honor God's wishes above my father's." And you can be sure there were tears and weeping and grief on Jonathan's part because he wanted so much to honor his father, and he showed it in every way. But his father would not be honored because he wouldn't come into alignment. That's a tough situation, and it helps if you have someone you can ask about those types of situations because they come up in the body of Christ. Unfortunately, there are some control people out there that want to control your life, and they don't care about the ultimate kingdom alignment. And so they try to lord over you, keep you down, and they won't let you rise in the spirit. But over time, you can see that in their life, and you may have to step away, step out from under them. But you should be getting some good spiritual counsel about doing that, not just, "Well, I don't like it. I don't think it's right, so I'm leaving." We've got that all over the body of Christ, and that's not hard to do. But to do it with honor and alignment is hard to do. And that is something very special when you see that because they are still honoring the person that they see is not in alignment with God. And Jonathan did that with his father, and so did David. Remember the times that David had the opportunity to do Saul in, but he never did. Why? He said Saul was the Lord's anointed, and even though he was demonized and chasing David around the country to kill him, David never even asked God if he could kill him. That's honor. In this situation, David didn't have to be brought into alignment. He already was in alignment because he had God's heart. He had Father's heart for Saul, even though Saul was trying to kill him. And even though Jonathan honored David so much, David had to talk him into going to Saul to see if it wasn't true that he was trying to kill David, because Jonathan wanted alignment so much between Saul, David, and himself. He had made a covenant with David, and he wanted his father Saul to join that covenant. But Saul was jealous of David. Jealousy will take you out of alignment very quickly. If we're jealous of one another in the body of Christ, you can bet somebody's going to be out of alignment. There can be as much favor as you want, but how much do you want honor and alignment? Jonathan wasn't worried about favor. He knew that it would come. He was only concerned with honor and alignment. David didn't worry about the favor either. He was also always concerned with honor and alignment, and the favor just flowed. Did they have trials? Yes. David was being chased around the country and then decided it would be better to go live with the Philistines. The Philistines were the enemies of the Israelites, so why didn't they just kill him? Because they knew he had favor and thought that David was now on their side and they might be able to defeat the Israelites with his favor. And even before David came to serve Saul, he had favor because he honored his father Jesse. It was his job to tend the sheep and fend off lions and bears. Not an easy job, but he did it without complaining. Even after the prophet Samuel anointed him king of Israel, there was no rebellion in his heart. He honored his father. He honored Samuel, and he received the anointing and then went right back out to the sheep. He was in alignment and honored all these authorities in his life. And when he went up against Goliath, he had merely been with the army because his father sent him to deliver food and supplies to his brothers. But he was offended by the Philistines for going up against the armies of the living God. Honor and alignment were so deep within him that he was offended that God's name was being dragged through the mud by heathens and wanted to bring kingdom alignment to the situation. When you see Pastor Mary Pat preach, that's what's going on. She wants to be in kingdom alignment 24/7 because she honors the Lord and wants alignment not just for herself, but for everybody to be in the kingdom because she knows what's coming after that. Favor. And when do you need favor the most? In the deepest, darkest trials. So you mean you have trials if you have favor? But there is something worse. Not having trials or not having favor when you have trials. Because without favor, the enemy can throw whatever he wants at you. Depression, low self-concept, no belief in God, no trust in God. He can get in there because he doesn't bump up against favor to prevent him. So David looked at Goliath, and while all the other Israelites saw a huge threat, David saw a huge target. He knew that with the help of the Lord, he couldn't miss him. And that's what favor brings. It allows us to see things as God sees them. So David went before Saul and refused the armor that Saul offered him because it was just going to hinder what God wanted to do. David had so much armor on in the spirit, there was no way Goliath could even touch him, but he was the only one that knew it. He put the armor on to honor Saul and would not have gone up against Goliath without the king's blessing, but it merely weighed him down. So Saul had to take it away. So David goes down into the valley to meet Goliath and first stops at a brook to pick up stones. The two armies are there watching this. And see that he doesn't have a spear, he doesn't have a shield, he doesn't have any armor, and he goes to pick up five stones and takes out his sling. Goliath starts to mock him, and after exchanging a few words, he raises his arm and uses his less than powerful, less than accurate sling, and lo and behold, his honor, his alignment with spiritual authorities, government authorities, family authorities, brings out the favor right at the right time. Goliath had the surprise of his life. There are more ways to beat a man than with a sword, spear, and shield bearer in front of you. Even though Goliath had a shield bearer in front of him, he wasn't tall enough to stop the stone that killed Goliath. When God is in control of everything, you can trust his favor. You're going to miss the shield bearer. They should have had a bigger shield for Goliath, because you're going to need a big shield to stop God's missile when you are not honoring his name, when you are not in alignment with his plan and his purpose, and you have disfavor, no favor, cursed favor. That's what makes it so sad about Saul, because he had the opportunity to do the same thing, honor and alignment and favor, and he chose to do something different. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Saul missed something. It's all about keeping the commandments. I have kept the commandments. That's what he said to Samuel, but it wasn't true. You know why he missed it? Because he had fallen out of love with the Lord God, and he had fallen in love with his position, the honor he was receiving, his own spiritual thinking. He would have been one to say, I know God's plan, just listen to me. I've done what you wanted, Samuel. It's not what I wanted, it was what God wanted, and you have not done it. So you've been released from being king. Oh, let me repent. It's too late. Too little, too late. You can repent, but you will no longer be king. Then the demonic took over, and Saul became jealous of God's anointed. He started off into all the negative, evil things rather than following God's ways. So he chased after God's anointed when his own son was making a covenant with God's anointed. The family split, the country split, the Philistines came and killed Saul, killed all his sons, including Jonathan. And David had to fight all of that back when he became king. All because a guy who had position would not honor, would not come into alignment. And then he did not receive favor. So the message boils down to this today. As we come into alignment, It's not just a physical thing. That's been spoken to me. This is more about what's happening in our body, in the body of Christ internationally. We need to follow God's plan. Some of you have been asked to go through some points of deliverance and you've put it off. You've made excuses. I think Saul did somewhere along the line. We're not saying that you have such demonic activity that you can't do anything right. That's not the point. But you have some hurts in your life and the enemy has influenced you and you've put off the deliverance. You might be embarrassed thinking, then everyone will know that you had some problems. But every one of us needs more of God's Spirit working inside of us. There's no shame in this place. Do we ever say, shame on you? You have problems? No. Some of you need to take a full step into inner healing. Take the full step into deliverance. Take the full step into healing in your life, even physical healing. Have you seen the testimonies? This is a season of favor. You think this came in alignment because some doctor was wise? I was pointing to my ankle at the time, which had been broken in a few months before, but was beginning to heal without surgery. He knows it wasn't. He, the doctor, he's seen the favor of the Lord. I came in my last appointment and he said, you are a blessed man. And I received that. I am a blessed man. I'm a blessed man because what was out of alignment came into alignment. This was supposed to be surgery, but it's not because he brought it into alignment. He brings the favor. I can now walk on the foot with a little bit of a crutch, but it's sure better than being in the tomb needing resurrection. It has come alive. I can see my foot, wash my foot, step on my foot, see its progress, and it's better than it being in the tomb. It was even in alignment in the tomb, but I'm stepping into favor, and the doctor recognizes it. You are a blessed man. And some of you will say, well, you sure think a lot of yourself. But say that to David. He was bold when he spoke to Goliath, very bold. But when Saul was throwing spears at him, he didn't say anything to him. He never boasted about his position or fought back against Saul. When Saul chased, he ran. He could have stood and wiped him out. Saul kills his thousands and David kills his 10,000s. That's a 10-1. He could have wiped him out. He was a better warrior, but he held it back because of honor. If we can just say, Holy Spirit, produce that in me. He held it back because of alignment. He thought that would be trashing the name of God. To go up against the Lord's anointed, even though he could have said, but now I'm the new Lord's anointed. He's the old Lord's anointed. An old anointing was good enough for David to honor. And he stayed in alignment with God's best, trusting that God would put him on the throne when God wanted to. He wasn't going to force his way in, even when the people who worked for Saul didn't like Saul. So I'm saying today that if you want favor from the Lord, there are some steps. But you are able to do these steps, and they're fun. They're fun. It's much more fun to honor than to dishonor. It's much more fun to see the sparkle in a leader's eye when they are honored than it is to hear that they've heard rumors behind their back. I'm telling you some secrets about this place. And I went on with the secrets. You don't want to know those. So, those kinds of messages are online, and I don't believe I said some of that. I don't remember it. And I think it's because my heart has been to honor and be in alignment, and the favorite of it is things come out of your mouth that you never planned. A revelation comes out of your life that you never thought about. And that can happen with each of you, and I've heard it happen. Things that you've said to me when we've been out to one of my offices, eating a meal or having a cup of coffee without sugar. You've shared your heart, or you've shared something that has challenged my life, and you didn't even know it. And you may not even remember it, because God wants so much for me to continue to honor him and be in alignment. He'll use you to keep me lined up. He'll use you to favor me with some of the revelation that he's willing to speak out of your mouth. And so on. It works all that way across the body of Christ when there's a culture of honor, when there's a desire to honor one another. It's not just so you can honor leaders and say, you know, you deserve the honor, even a double honor according to the New Testament, so we're going to give you that honor and, you know, I'm just a worm in the closet. That's not true. Every person we need to honor to the place that Holy Spirit releases us to honor them. And that would mean anyone, the poor. It would mean anyone. Someone in disobedience, there's a certain amount of honor that we can give to them. We may not give them a position of speaking in front of the church when they're in disobedience, but we can certainly honor them as God's treasure. He created them. He hasn't taken them off the earth, even when they're dishonoring him. So we can honor them and try to love them into a place of honoring the Lord again, coming into alignment again, and being in favor again. So as I was reading through some of this, I thought there were some more things to unpack in this whole area, because it can be kind of a three-word deal, you know, honor, alignment, and favor. Oh, yeah. I remember that. But I had a few questions that came to mind that I want to make sure that are answered by the Bible and the Holy Spirit. First of all, who are you going to honor? Well, I said some of that at the beginning, but obviously we would all say, well, God's at the top of the list. He's Lord of all. He's the ultimate authority. We should honor him. And people across the earth, a large percentage, are saying they want to find God, and when they actually find him, that they will bring him honor. They'll bring him all the praise and glory that he deserves. Even pop stars, you know, they, at the end of their life, it seems like, my golly, they were going around preaching the gospel for Jesus all over the earth. And they loved the Lord. They loved the Lord. They loved the Lord. But that wasn't necessarily the story of the person's life. And we know it. And yet there's kind of a game played with what honor really is for the Lord, what love for the Lord really is. We want to make sure, obviously, none of that is going on here in any of our lives, including mine. So who are we going to honor beyond the Lord, his person, his presence, his anointing, his Holy Spirit, his word? Well, we know we're supposed to honor father and mother, that our days may be long. It may be that our days will be longer because mom or dad wouldn't take us out before our time because we were kind of sassy or we got into lipping off to them. But God sees that as honoring a major part of our life, and that is the leaders, the authorities, and our family. We should even honor aunts and uncles, you know, and older people. There's a lot of that in the Bible. It says, you know, a young man will be honored kind of for his strength. He'll be looked up to for his strength. An old man will be looked up to for his gray hair. Now, that sounds a little strange. But it's because older people, if they've been following the Lord, if they've been honoring him, coming into alignment and seeing his favor in their life, they are the examples of decades of following Jesus. And so we can learn a lot from them. We can get great wisdom from them. He also obviously says that we should honor in marriage, honor one another in marriage, submit to one another in marriage. There's an honoring that goes on between husband and wife, or there should be. And obviously in our society, that has become a bit of a problem. We've decided somewhere along the line that the man's in charge, the woman's not in charge, and all the problems that happen because of that. Well, the Lord says there's no male or female, and you're supposed to honor one another and care for one another. You have different roles. You're going to handle them in different ways. But guess what? Wives are just as important as husbands. And even in the body of Christ, we haven't gotten that straight. And I always talk about that on Mother's Day, so we'll hold on to that. But there's an honoring that goes back and forth between husband and wife, and a certain alignment in the spirit that can bring favor to a marriage, that we actually can understand one another after living with each other. Oh, I understand why he does that. I understand why she does. We can start coming to the fruit that we're supposed to have through our marriages. They're supposed to be dynamic duos that take on the enemy's territory. There should be honors for governmental authorities, kings and rulers. You know, Jesus kind of sometimes did tongue-in-cheek honoring with this. Oh, they're asking for a tax. We should honor them in that regard. But Jesus didn't work for his taxes. He went over, he told Peter to go out and just throw a hook in the ocean and pull the fish in, and in the fish's mouth was the tax that could be paid for both of them. Peter, because he was aligned with Jesus, didn't even have to pay the tax. Favor can pay tax out of a fish being pulled in from the ocean. Jesus didn't spend a lot of time worrying about governmental authorities and, you know, them hauling him in because he was a tax evader. He could take care of that very easily through his favor. But he did honor them. He didn't just say, take a hike when they said there's a tax due. Masters, in some cases teachers, you know, employment authorities, education authorities. We have those in our lives for decades, don't we? They have a good place in our lives. They teach us a lot of things. We know that they're not ultimately in charge. And so we sometimes push the envelope and ask them for a vacation to go on a mission trip when it's not in the manual. And God oftentimes supersedes their authority. But we're still to honor them and appeal to them, not just say, well, I'm taking 2 weeks off, get used to it, and I'm going to go on a mission trip. But God is over them, works in them. They will make decisions. Things will come out of their mouth that are against everything else they tell every other person. That works for them. If we're in that honor, alignment, and favor with God, many of you have found that that's true. We were in Brazil a couple of weeks ago, and it was someone that we wanted to be with us, to minister with us. We were going to fly to a different part of the country. And we said, well, why don't you just ask your employer for the time off? Hadn't ever done that before. Some of you kind of know what rises up inside your stomach when you're wanting to be so responsible towards your job, and you're asking something that doesn't seem to fit with that responsibility, and yet you know it would be sweet if you could do it, because it'd be something special you could do for the Lord or whatever, whether it's a mission trip or whether it's something else. And there comes that tension. There comes that, who's really in charge? So the person asks, got 3 days, first time they asked. We actually needed them for 4. They went back, asked for the 4th day. They got the 4th day, and I will find a substitute for that class that you have to teach. It ended up they had the whole week because we asked them if they would maybe take Friday too, which they was normally their day off. They were going to start filling in the days that they missed, starting with that Friday. They started the next week on Friday. Got the whole week off in a situation where they were a key person in education. How does that happen? It's because the father comes in, he supersedes everything. He's the one in control, and he'll put things in people's hearts that they never intended. People that may not even follow the Lord at all. Or they see the favor on the person and they go, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I'm not going to stop this person. I'm not even going to read the manual that says, you know, they need a certain amount of time ahead and they need this and they need that. I'm not even going to read that. I'm just going to let them do it because there's favor there. Like David with the Philistines, they should have killed him. Didn't happen. They were like, man, maybe if he's with us, we'll actually defeat the Israelites. He can bring that kind of favor to our lives if we allow him to give us the proper honor for people, but not honor them to the place that they take over God's position. They are not in charge. They are not in charge. The government is not in charge. Our employer is not in charge. The professors at school are not in charge. If you're going to school, you're going to school for Jesus if you're a kingdom person and you love him. If you're working, you're working for Jesus as your top employer. You're not just working for the person in front of you that's your boss. If you can keep those kinds of things in mind, amazing cool things happen that just don't seem to fit. So many of these, father, mother, spiritual authorities, God-ordained leaders, ones where Holy Spirit has plugged you in, those leaders, you can come into alignment by honoring them, and the favor will flow. And that's often in the body of Christ what doesn't happen. There's no fathers anymore. There's preachers. There's pastors. There's people in authority. But there's supposed to be fathering going on. Here we believe that we're not meeting just around some kind of doctrine we believe in. We're meeting around fathers to father you in the faith, to help you go forward as an individual. You need father. And it works. It works. We don't have to beg people to go on missions. They're signing up to go. That we have to kind of, in some trips, we have to kind of say, well, no, we've reached the maximum. So that's pretty cool. How does that happen? It doesn't happen just because you say, everybody should be involved in reaching out to someone else in some way, shape, or form, whether you go to the streets of Canton, whether you do it at work, whether you go to Legends, whether you go across the ocean. Well, that will get so far. But if it's being modeled and fathered over a number of years, it just gets in the heart of people. And they're coming to you saying, so when are the trip dates? When are we going? When are we going back to China? When are we going back to that country I just fell in love with those people? And I just, boom, 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 the heart's beating. And we can't take any credit for that. Because God is fathering all of us, isn't he? And he's giving it to the spiritual leaders, and they're giving it out to you. So if the person in front of you becomes valuable, you'll honor them, and they may not even know Jesus. But you honor the fact that God created them, their treasure. How do you want me to love this person, Holy Spirit? I know you want me to love them uniquely because they're unique. You don't want me to have some kind of set plan, some set diagram. You want me to love them authentically, fresh. And I may not know the first thing to say, but I'm trusting you will give it to me. So, what do you need in order to honor? The Bible says in several places you need humility and you need the fear of the Lord. Or you won't even begin to honor. It won't be something that you even deal with. You have to start out by saying to God, you're all, and I'm going to, in every way, honor those that you honor, those that you've put in position over my life. You can pretty much name them right this minute. Who's in positions of authority over your life? You can pretty much say to yourself, have I been grumbling about that, or have I been celebrating that? That these people, even if it's a mean old boss, that these people have some kind of impact on my spiritual life. And the more I learn to, through Holy Spirit, honor them in the way God wants me to, the more I come into alignment with how He loves and how He does things, His will for my life. And the only result at the end of that is favor. There's just no other way about it. So if, you know, mom and dad make you mad, you need to find a way in which, through Holy Spirit, Lord, I'm not very good at honoring. I'm a teenage person, and, you know, they don't have the answers. Obviously, I do. And so if they just listen to me, we'd get somewhere. Well, we've all been teenagers, those of us that look a little older now. I remember those years, hair down to here. Oh, that was something. Anyway, and we went through the same process, and we thought our parents didn't know anything. It's true. We really did. We thought our parents didn't know jack. But fortunately, before I left my teen years, I became a believer. And then it all came kind of rushing in that, wow, maybe mom and dad do know something. And, it, you know, I wasn't convinced, but at least that thought kind of was moving around in my mind. They might actually know something that could help me. And so I went to my mom in a very key decision and asked her what to do on something after I became a believer for a few months. That was major for me. And she gave an answer from God, not herself. She wasn't even a Christian. But I asked what she thought. And I know now, standing here, God gave her the answer simply because I went to her and asked her what she thought on something major in my life. And it moved my life from what it could have been, a Christian in the back row of a Christian college, letting all the all-stars do everything up front, and ending up kind of disillusioned, I'm sure, at the end of that, to having to go back to the university I was going to because that's what she suggested, and fight the fight of being a real Christian among 18,000 students that could care less. Well, maybe 17,000, I don't know. And it helped me fight upstream. And she didn't know that. But because I honored her, God honored her and honored me, and He was honored in me asking an unbelieving mom a question that changed the course of what my life could have been. That's how important this whole area is. That He can even use Pharaoh to say things. If we're in a position of honoring Him, He can use Nebuchadnezzar. He can change him around so that he gives glory to God simply as he follows through on honor. Amazing. Amazing things. So humility and fear of the Lord, absolute requisites to that. To bend my knee before God and say, you know, I'm having trouble with that Pastor Bill. Every time I talk to him, it's, why don't you ask Holy Spirit? Or every time I talk to him, you know, really, the answer is in the presence of God. Why don't you worship or prayer or some other answer? You know, it just sounds just so stale. When's he going to come up with something new? But, you know, Lord, you got this honor, alignment, favor thing. Maybe I'll step in and I'll actually buy him coffee in one of his offices and just see what happens. Maybe something new will come out. Maybe just something new will come out that will help my life. But, you know, I'm not expecting much. Haven't heard anything so far. You know, we're going to have to fight those kinds of battles to get to the place of of honoring the authorities that we see in our lives. We can list them right now. Who are they? How can I honor them, Holy Spirit? And he'll show you. He truly will. And you will, obviously, be humbling yourself to do that. You will be saying, I fear the Lord more than fearing man. Because you'll have to do some things you don't want to do in order to honor. You really don't want to do them. And it'd be so much better just to fear man, you know, and, okay, look, my boss, he's not going to let me off for this special conference or this special trip or whatever it might be. He is just not going to, so I'm not going to ask him. And I'm telling you, you're missing some of the coolest testimonies of your life because God is so willing to come in and do some amazing creative things in each of our situations with even our honoring of authorities. We honor them, but God comes in and does something really cool when we do. So what does alignment look like? Well, you know, you have God's will, that thing that everybody's trying to, you know, figure out. And it's the thing that, wow, if I could just do that, I know everything else would be, wow, it'd be great. I could step forward in life and be fulfilled and everything would fall into place. And, you know, you get this God's will. But so often, he works through spiritual fathers by giving them much of what we need to know for God's will. Many Christians are running around going, you know, God, what do you want from my life? What do you want from my life? What do you want from my life? And the spiritual authorities from the front are saying, why don't you connect with, you know, a father in the faith? Why don't you connect with good counsel? In many counselors, there's safety. Why don't you connect with someone sitting down with you and praying for you over your situation? And the person says, well, that, I'll get to that, but God, what do you want from my life? 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 And then they decide, oh, I know what he wants from my life. He wants that cute girl at the coffee shop from my life. I know he does. And they start focusing on things that God never intended. Because what would a spiritual advisor say to them? Is the person even a Christian? I was looking at the crust. I haven't got to that point yet. You see, that's where spiritual counsel helps. Say, you know, maybe that's not the first thing you should consider when you're considering having a mate in your life, is looking at the crust and not even know what's going on inside their heart. Because those things in the heart, the crust is going to kind of get, you know, older, I don't know. But, you know, the things in their heart, they better be on target or you're going to have a really rough life. And it's a hard lesson, but it's true, isn't it? It's very true. Fortunately, we have many examples in the Bible where God gave the crust and the heart. Many, many, many. And, of course, I have the example in my life. You know, I got beautiful crust and beautiful heart, all wrapped up in one package. Don't make the mistake of thinking crusty. Just stick with crust. That's not it. That wasn't what I was talking about. Sure. So you have God's will, that's the vision of the Heavenly Father. And we all want it, I would hope. In this group this morning, we all want that. What he does is he gives it as an inheritance to spiritual fathers. You say, well, wait a minute, how's that work in the Bible? Think about it. And mothers, of course. Mothers and fathers, just in case there's any confusion. Spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, to me, are the same thing. So I say spiritual fathers, I mean spiritual mothers with that. No gender. Okay? So, brings the inheritance down to a spiritual father. Think of Abraham. Abraham says, we're supposed to go out there. Where? Out there. You know where you're going? No.
just supposed to go.
And it said everybody followed him. They didn't say, well, I don't know. You got to give me more details than that. I kind of like it here. There's an oasis nearby. I like it. We're going out into the desert. That's desert way. I don't know if anybody told you, old man Abraham, but that is a desert that we're going into out there. They didn't do that. They followed him. Why? Because they believed God. When he said God spoke to him, God spoke to him. He was the spiritual father. He didn't sit around questioning. Now, we're a little bit, you know, each of us have Holy Spirit now. So it makes it more complicated because you actually can have something to say to a spiritual father that might help them, might change them, that might change the direction of where we're going. But back then, the Holy Spirit came on certain people, and Abraham happened to be one of them. And he says, we're going to the desert, and they all went. You know, Paul had Timothy. Paul had Titus. The things that you've heard among many witnesses, teach to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Paul was in that process. Timothy and Titus, they didn't say, well, I think it's time I kind of become the father. And they became fathers, but they were still under Paul as long as Paul was around. Sometimes it switches. Barnabas was over Paul, and then it switched. Paul, because of his giftings, became over Barnabas, pretty much. And then they, you know, split and doubled their ministry because they really were both fathers. So it shouldn't matter what position we're in. You're all supposed to be fathers and mothers in the faith. Is that a surprise? You're all supposed to be able to have children, spiritual children. And that's what happens then. The inheritance comes, the wisdom comes, it's given out as a father to sons and daughters, a mother to sons and daughters. They get personal vision from that. You will get personal vision. How am I supposed to fit in with what God has for me? It'll become very clear as the inheritance is given out to you that the spiritual father and spiritual mothers have. They give it out to you, and suddenly you start to see things much more clearly in your own life. You're not going after the girl at the coffee shop. Suddenly you're going after Jesus. And then he brings you better than a girl at a coffee shop. He brings you a vision. But your personal vision lines up with someone else that God has given the inheritance, and that person's spreading it out, and eventually you'll be spreading that out. And it may not take very long. You may be out sharing the gospel, you know, preaching healing, touching people for deliverance before you know it, and suddenly some of those people want to hear more from you. And you may not even realize it. Oh my gosh, I have 3 people that are actually listening to what I have to say about God. How'd that happen? You were sharing the inheritance, and it just happened naturally. Those others will come. Those others that are supposed to be taught by the ones you teach will come. And the ones you teach will be having children. Let them. You know, when that stage of your life comes. What's fun for Mary Pat, Pastor Mary Pat and myself now is the children are producing children and producing grandchildren in the faith, and they run things when we're overseas. And I don't know if anybody caught this, but usually things go forward. More people come in. People are wanting to meet with me for coffee, and I don't even know who they are necessarily because they came in while we were gone or whatever, because there's something about releasing it to the spiritual children. They're like, okay, hey, I'm going to take ownership over this. I want to really, you know, honor God in this time, and I want to just go for it. And what happens is the body of Christ goes forward, and we're in two different places. We're overseas preaching in Brazil, and people are getting fed and lifted up here. And when you talk to other pastors, they don't dare take a Sunday off. That's scary. Are you aware that's scary? They don't have anybody that they've trained that they trust to be sharing the word or leading the meeting or praying for someone or whatever it might be. Am I the only one that knows that that's scary? So Romans 12, 1 and 2, about God's will. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. There's that humility. There's that honoring. Here I am, God. I'm yours. This isn't even a sacrifice for me to do this, because in the end of it, it's going to be favor. It's going to be honor, more honor for you. It's going to be more honor for me, because part of the favor is I get more honor. And I get it from the throne room. It's really cool when God gives you extra honor through favor, and you know it. You know it came from Him, because He's taking you through a process. It's a sweet thing, because you can't take credit for it. You can only give Him credit for it, and that's more honor for Him. You know you're going to come more into alignment, and there's going to be more favor after that. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You have to have your mind renewed in order to recognize that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. I'm suggesting that this process of honor, alignment, and favor is the process you go through to see that God's will is the best thing going. That it's good. It's good to be just throwing yourself entirely into the river of God and trusting Him with the spiritual authorities in your life. Trusting that He'll give you the word to say to the other authorities in your life how to conduct yourself at work, at school, so that you're honoring the people and honoring God at the same time. That's a constant check with Holy Spirit. It's not just looking at the principles of the Bible. It's having the Holy Spirit give us that proper mix of principles to have it work out on a daily basis and work for a specific situation. Many people in here know biblical passages and could lay out a number of verses on humility or fear of the Lord or whatever, or given 5 minutes you could. But how do you do that when the person's in front of you? How do you honor them right at that moment? Do you start thinking of all the principles, or do you say, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know what I'm doing. There's a bunch of principles. I want to bless this person and honor them. How do I do it and honor you at the same time? I'm telling you, He'll give it to you. And you'll be amazed at the results. I've had people very angry with me over being a Christian while I was teaching, while I was in the factory, all kinds of different situations. But the thing was, because I cried out to Holy Spirit, I knew I didn't have all the answers. But because I cried out to Holy Spirit, He would give me something right out of my mouth to say to a person that the general answer would turn away wrath. And, you know, sometimes Bible verses spoken out of our mouth to an unbelieving person doesn't do that. It has to be the Holy Spirit giving us actual words from God that don't go against the Bible but are something that they can take without realizing it's the Bible, without realizing it's God speaking through us. And so many times that's happened with a person. Their wrath, they're just angry with me. A word said in season, and suddenly it became a ministry to that person that even continues to this day, of one situation I can think of. One word changed everything. One word from the Lord through Holy Spirit. He can do that with each of us. And that's when you know you're in alignment with the will of God. Because your words are salt. You know, they're spicy. They bring results. You speak life into people. You're not speaking death and judgment on them. Try honoring someone by judging them. Just try it. That's why he says, you know, don't judge. We have to discern wolves in the body. Leaders have to kind of judge that. But they want that person to actually follow Jesus. They're not just trying to hurt them or put them down or get rid of them. They would like them to line up and follow Jesus, not be a wolf in the body, not be someone that all they do is try to pull people away from God. So if your concern is just your own personal vision, it's too limited, is what I'm saying. God's will often is given to spiritual authorities, spiritual leaders, so that it can be given out to us as spiritual children first. We have to be a son or daughter before we're a father or mother, so to speak. And then they can give the counsel and advice that goes with that. Suddenly your personal vision lines up with something bigger than yourself. You're not just running around as the Lone Ranger Christian going, oh, I know God and I know what He wants for my life. I know what He wants for my life. What does it fit into? Oh, I don't know. His big C. That's never been the case. It's always fit into something bigger than ourselves that we actually can be a part of. That's why we talk about covenant here. Do you have a covenant relationship with other believers? Or are you kind of a checker-outer? You go everywhere, check it out, see if you like, you know, whether the pastor preaches well, whether the worship team's kicking it, or, you know, the children's department or whatever. Not that those things aren't important, but the only thing I've ever asked God is, where do you want me plugged in? How do you want me plugged in? What should I be doing when I'm plugged in? How can I help someone who's already been plugged in longer than I have? Those are the kinds of things we should be asking. Not the color of the carpet, because, man, this ought to send you out of here. Do you have a covenant relationship? You know, it fits in with that honor, alignment, and favor, because you should have covenant relationships. Like Jonathan had covenant relationship with David to his hurt. Paul had covenant relationships with the churches he established. He didn't just establish them and go, good luck, see you later. He went through the rigors of going on the first, second, third, and fourth missionary trips, going back to those places. How you doing? What's going on? Hey, how's the leaders treating you? What's happening? What can we correct here? What can we adjust here? What can we help here? And the Corinthian church probably kept him up nights. Some of the corrections, some of the things that needed to be adjusted. You don't keep me up at night. That's good. Mary Pat does, but you don't keep me up at night. Her concern for you, her love for you. It's true. So what does favor look like? Blessing, anointing, destiny, legacy. You know that you want to meet your destiny, but you don't just want it to be limited to you. Oh, I met my destiny. I had my personal vision, and I met my destiny for God. You know that's always going to be something that you want passed on? You don't want it just to die with you. I know leaders in the body of Christ that are very famous, and I think, what's their legacy going to be? Wow, they were leaders in the body of Christ that were very famous, and they went and preached a number of places, and people knew them, they had good stuff to say, but where is their son? Where's their daughters? The ones that they could have been training along the way that will carry on that legacy for the Lord. I don't see it sometimes. How many know that's a little scary? When that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's how the body of Christ can multiply across the earth. Just like the children in this place. You know, he gave us a picture so we could see it. So we don't just want to meet our destiny. We want it to be carried on in a legacy. We want other people to be saying, yeah, he trained me, and now I'm carrying on that training. He croaked and went to heaven, and now I'm carrying it on. Yeah, get down to it. We're not going to live forever. So do you want to just, you know, die and say, wow, he was good for the body of Christ. That was awesome. He gave a message every Sunday. I don't remember what they were, but hey, I know they were good at the time, you know. Or would the legacy be reach the nations? Churches were established. Bodies of believers were established. Relationships ongoing for years with those groups of people overseas. And the people in the body, they looked to him as a father. They looked to her as a mother in the faith. And they took it from there. And they became fathers and mothers. And it wasn't the name of Goki that was important. It was the name of Jesus that ended up important. And the legacy was, let's see, who was the guy that really started that whole... I'm trying to remember what his name is. Because the saints several generations down the way are so fired up. It's like, wow, it's still going on. The fire that started is still going to the nation. Someone a few years ago said, you cannot guarantee that Frontline will continue to do what it's doing today and expand and all that. You can't guarantee that. You can't even guarantee it's going to last until the end of the year. I said, sure I can. No, you can't. What if you and Mary Pat were just out of the way? You can't guarantee the Frontline would continue to exist. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can. Well, then tell me how. Wasn't our idea. I was teaching elementary school, having a great time. Telling jokes over the heads of sixth graders. It's a great time. Them letting me know I was bald. That was a good time, hearing from those fifth and sixth graders. Do you know, Mr. Goki, you're bald? Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. Buying Rogaine. Well, they didn't buy Rogaine. They had a box of Rogaine that they would give me at Christmas time. Wrap it up. It wouldn't have Rogaine in it because, you know, somebody used it already. But they give me the box, and they were all waiting for me to open it. And every year, of course, I knew what was in it because they were so excited. And I'd say, you know, I don't think we have time to open my presents. You know, I think you need to get on the... But no! You've got to open it! Those were good times. Being from Michigan and, you know, wanting the Wolverines to win when they played Ohio State, and the kids would get with the gym coach and they would decorate my entire room before I got down there after I got my cup of coffee. It'd be all Buckeyes and red and white and big O's and all that stuff. And they're ready to do a little cheer. When I, you know, oh, those were good times. But God had something different. And I refuse, Pastor Mary Pat refuses to settle for what we've settled for in the body of Christ. And that is, you know, people just do their own thing, and that's it. They're not connected. There's no covenant. There's no relationship. But to do it without the lording over, which some of you have experienced. And I'm the pastor. You're the people. I lord over you, and I feel like it because you're supposed to give me double honor. Do you know that it's better for me to honor you when I'm supposed to receive double honor? Because I really get a super-duper blessing. It's true. If I'm like Jesus, he was supposed to get all honor. Why didn't he come to the earth and say, I can only come to earth as God. I can't come to earth as man. That's like, wow. Being in one body for 30, almost 34 years, I don't think I'm doing that. That's not the double honor thing as far as I'm concerned. No, he gave up his honor so he could live in the body, then go ahead and die for us, for our sins and all that. He deserved all honor, and yet he honored us. That's why his name is above every other name. That's why at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. Because he knew how to honor. He honored you. He honored me. We didn't deserve it. He knew 2,000 years from the time he died, I was going to live and I start out sinning. Not good. And he still died for me. Still honored me. You see why he says, you know, honor one another. Love your brother as yourself, which takes honor, takes humility to love someone like you would love yourself. Put out for them, sacrifice for them. That's why all the boundary books out there, I wish they'd just kind of make a big pile and burn them. Because you look at the life of Jesus, where's his boundaries? He said he had to draw away to be with his Father. That's the place he wanted to be the most. And yet he had to draw away from all the hurts and needs of the people because he loved the people so much, wanted to honor them so much. You see, so I take that as my example. You know, Jesus, he deserved all honor. Okay, I deserve double honor as an elder in the faith. But the more I honor you, the sweeter it is for me. The more that we serve you and pour ourselves out like drink offerings, the better it is. The more energized we are. Do I look tired? I'm not burnt out. I can't wait to go on the next mission. I can't wait to see you go to the next level. I can't wait for there to be more people that want to meet in my offices. Can't wait. Because he's energizing me. He's the one bringing it to me. Because when you follow this, honor, coming into alignment, the favor starts flowing. When I go to a meet with someone, I don't think, what am I going to say to them? I know they have this thing they want to bring up. What am I going to say? They're going to find out I don't know anything about this. I just say, Holy Spirit, you got to give me what they need today. And the stuff that flows through me excites me and challenges me all at the same time. I love it. And you've had it happen to you. It just needs to happen more, that's all. And I bless you with that. It's going to happen more. So don't just be satisfied with a destiny. You want a legacy. You want people running around that have picked up the heart of Jesus. Because that's basically what we're trying to share here. Father's love, heart of Jesus, answers so many of the tough theological questions. Well, what's the heart of Jesus with divorce, remarriage? What's the heart of Jesus when someone needs restored to the body of Christ? So much easier to take the scriptures than match it with the heart of Jesus, ask the Holy Spirit, and he gives the answer for a particular person and their situation. Isn't that good? I know I say it a lot in different ways, but it should kind of, you know, hit our hearts that, wow, that's good. That's good. I can go with that. It doesn't depend on me, my resources, my abilities, my training. It depends on Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Okay, so have these tables up here. Most of you had your eyes closed during the prayer, so you didn't see that. Except I heard a few people laughing, so apparently I can't concentrate during the prayer time. We'll work on that later. Luke 14, 7 through 11, you can begin reading through that. We want to finish with this. I actually forgot about it. I was going to finish, and then I got the tables. Too bad for you. It's not going to be early. Okay, 14, 7. And he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this man,' and then in disgrace you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at that last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Okay, so if, you know, the master of ceremonies is at this particular seat during the feast, the wedding feast, or whatever kind of dinner it is. Let's say that that's Tom, if he'll come up and take that seat. He's the master of ceremonies. And then we've got, you know, Mike. He comes in, he kind of walks around. He's first one there, and he looks at the seating. He sees the master up there, and he goes, well, let's see, you know, what's my standing here at this? And he says, well, shoot, I know the master. He waved at me. I think I'll just take this place of honor up here, you know, right at the master's table, right beside the master. And so, you know, even the master, in some cases, is somewhat friendly to him. But then we have another guest come in, and he's looking over. That's good. So the master sees him and, of course, indicates that he knows him and so on. And unfortunately, he, in honor, outranks the one here. Oh. And just for sake of time, all the rest of the seats are filled in, okay? Except that last seat down there. So all these are filled in. So the master invites him to go. Well, Mike looks and this filled in, that's filled in, that's filled in. And he takes the last seat. Even if he had kind of waited to see how things filled in when he first came in, he could have maybe drifted to one seat that wasn't as far back as that. But because he honored himself first, he put himself in the first position first, rather than seeing really what's the best way to honor at this particular gathering. So that's why he ends up way down there, because other people filled in where they should have filled in their place of honor. Now, in the kingdom, it's interesting who Jesus wants to be in this seat. The disciples tried to send him away. Children. Wow. Children. Right on cue. Way to go, guy. Yeah, you're following the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That isn't a toilet roll, is it? Okay. So, Jesus, even though the disciples think one such as this should kind of, you know, don't bother the master, don't bother the master, he says the kingdom of God starts with hearts like these. So he would place a child in this seat or a childlike heart in this seat where we might say, well, the children, you know, you make a lot of noise and you sometimes play with things and you need to come down here to this table. Jesus wants them at this table because of the childlike heart. They're humble to begin with in many ways, and so they get to have the seat of honor. So basically, for what we were saying, in order to honor, you have to think of someone other than yourself first. And everything through the New Testament says that. Wouldn't you agree? And so, rather than take the first place, well, you know, I need to be the first one in line when the food is served. I'm going to be up there because I'm hungry. You know, there might be some others that are hungry. Now, it doesn't mean that nobody starts the line. But oftentimes, the people that are doing the meal will say, oh, please, come, come. And ultimately, that's what Jesus says to us. He's not trying to make us go way down there. In fact, if this were Jesus and he's the master, he would say to Mike, look, I can't have you that far away. You come on up here close to me. You come on up here close to me. But the important thing is, better to be invited to that place by Jesus than to take a place ourselves and say, I deserve it. I deserve to be on the in crowd, you know, here at the main table and so on. Better to be called all the way from the end by Jesus. I just can't be that far away from you. You have to come. Because some people here and in human condition, anywhere, would just take this seat because they don't think Jesus wants to be around them. See, that's a lack of humility as well. And so, in the kingdom, Jesus calls everybody to this table. Nobody's sitting at these tables, but he calls us all there. That's the honoring that he does. This is typical honoring, but he honors all of us and says, come to this table and have a heart like this little one. Yep. Have a heart like him, you know, to follow me. And he says, you know, you'll be in honor, you'll be in alignment, and you'll have the favor. Yep. Yep. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. We honor you, God, right now. And we say, Lord, make these things true in our life more and more and more. Thank you for what you've taught each of us. I see more honor than ever going on, Father, between believers in this body, between leaders in this body, between this body and other bodies. Father, we're trying to honor others in this area, Father. I pray that you would continually put this on the front burner of our hearts, that we would step into this and you would align us in your will. You would show us how we can connect in covenant, how we can you know, have a personal vision within that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful. See all our gifts being used, Father, that you've given each of us. No one is put down in this arrangement of yours. Everyone is honored. Thank you, God, that you are building us into a culture of honor. And we just want to keep that fire going. This has nothing to do with correcting and correcting and correcting. It has to do with, let's just keep the fire burning. Let's keep talking about this. Let's keep doing this. Let's keep trusting you that you'll give us the ability to honor one another. Let's just keep that fire going, God, because it really is a testimony to the body of Christ, to the world, to every person that has any contact with Frontline, that if there's a culture of honor here that you've built, it will be such a tremendous encouragement to the body of Christ. and a challenge to those in the world that all they can do is step on each other to try to get up the ladder. Thank you, God, that we can offer people to go up the ladder first, and you'll put us in the proper places. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're that way, that you are so good to us. You've already honored us 2,000 years ago, and you continue to do it through Holy Spirit today. We awesomely give you the praise. We completely thank you for all you've done in our lives. And we say, carry us from here. Carry us from here. Let us be willing to take the last place, but realize you'll call us right to the table through honoring us. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, you're released, but I know how that goes. Kind of a lingering anointing around here, which is fine too.
This week, starting